the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," there are actually two really important lines that summarize the condition of mankind, summarize you, and summarize me, as well as our neighbor. These two lines that capture mankind's heart are this: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love." Indeed, because of our sinful hearts, the sinful heart, the sinful nature that we all possess, we are prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God that we love. We never stay put. This wandering of mankind is so clearly seen in today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke. In this parable, Jesus tells us about a father, rich father, who has two sons. One day, the youngest son came to his father and asked him for his inheritance early. Now, to wish for an inheritance early, before the death of the father, in that time and in that day, was equivalent to saying to the father this: "Dad, I wish you were dead. You mean nothing to me. You are not important to me. Just give me your wealth and your money and go ahead and die. I do not care about you. I just want your checkbook." Many fathers find it as a good reason to kick their sons out of the house and take their sons out of their will. However, in today's parable, the father is actually gracious. is very powerful, Father is very gracious. And he gives his son exactly what he asked for. That is right. The father liquidates half of everything he owns, and he gives literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to his one son, and he wishes him well. We all know what happens next. The son sets out to immediately gratify himself. Contemporarily speaking, the son went to the big city, smoked pot, drank the finest of whiskeys, chased wild women, and probably snorted some cocaine. This was the new lifestyle of the rebellious son. He had cash, and he had resources. He was a new player in town, and he was not afraid to spend it on whatever he wanted. He tossed his father and his former way of life out of his mind, and he did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, with whoever he wanted. He lived excessively, and he gave into whatever he desired at that moment, whatever pleased his heart and suited his own fancy. The next thing we know, the son was broke. He was broke and starving. He lived without limits, and he gave himself over to every lust of his heart. He literally blew thousands of dollars upon meaningless indulgences, temporary highs. Now, though, the young son was broke. He was hungry and in debt. His money had run out. His influence had run out. Those who sought him out only for the money and the good time abandoned him, and he was alone. And he was working off his debt as he fed pigs and was actually jealous of their slop that they ate, longing to have that food for his aching belly. So, of course, the young son one day, after hitting rock bottom, which often does happen, decided to go home and confess his sins against his father and God and hope to receive a place as a servant in his father's household. He knew that his father treated the slaves better than he was being treated, going through that mud with the pigs, longing for a hot meal. Now, up to this point, this story seems to make sense. Even though we think the young son is foolish and downright ruthless for treating his father the way that he did, we have seen this before with the ways of youthfulness. We have heard stories about this in our day and age of youth going this way, flirting with this kind of lifestyle and hitting rock bottom, and then eventually coming back home. With that said, though, what does not make sense, I repeat, what does not make sense in today's story is the father. As we hear in our story, the father is out day after day after day looking down that long road for his son. The father did not occasionally think of his son who wished him dead, but rather the son was upon his mind. It was upon his mind every single day. In fact, the whole farm operation is being run by his older son, but the father does not really care about his farm. He doesn't care about his wealth. He doesn't care about everything around him. He cares about his lost son. He's concerned about his rebellious son. Where is he? Is he okay? Will he maybe come back to me someday? These are the things that the father's thoughts are consumed with. Day after day, week after week, the father watches. He looks down the road. He imagines his son walking home on that road. He waits. His heart hurts for his wandering son. Time after time, he's disappointed, though, that the road remains empty. Time after time, he is saddened that his young son does not turn up. However, the father does not stop longing. Oh no, he does not stop longing. He does not stop looking for him. He cannot stop looking for him. He cannot stop caring. It would be against who he is as a father. He can't give up on his rebellious and lost son. Now, this is what does not make sense to us. In other words, the behavior of the father does not make sense. You see, the kind of behavior is actually beneath the dignity of such a wealthy and prominent member of society, which that father was. Besides, the son wished the father dead. The father should not care that much. If anything, the father should have had hatred for his rebellious son, for the son was a wretched example of a human being, if there ever was one. However, the father could not get his mind off of his son. He could not stop looking for his son. Even though his son wished him dead, the father wished for his son in his midst. It was better to be hated as a father and have his son near than to have no son at all. One day, though, as we've heard in our gospel, things changed. The father, looking down the road, saw someone far off in the distance, and with a sudden jolt of joy and excitement, the father jumped to his feet and said to himself, "Could that be my son? Oh, Lord, let it be him." As the person on the road drew near, the father's heart began to thump in his chest. He could hear his heart thumping in his ears. The person on the road was the same height of his son. He walked the same way. However, his clothes were not the same. The clothes were a bunch of ripped rags draping across his body. And the person coming down the road had long, ratted hair and a scraggly beard covered in dirt. He was also very skinny, skin and bones, no muscle. Could it be his son? Could that be my son, the father wondered. The man walking on the road paused and looked up, and in that instance, the father saw the son's face. It was him. It was him. It was him. The father lifted up his fancy robe, exposing his legs, and he ran towards his son, which was not a dignified thing to do. However, he did not care about dignity at that point. He did not care about what was respectful at that time. It was not on his mind. He did not care what those in the society would say about a rich man exposing his legs and running down that road towards his son. He did not care what others thought. All he cared about was his son. His son was before him, and he was determined to grab a hold of him and make sure that he would never get away again. He had been waiting for this day and imagining it for quite some time, and now it was happening. As he drew near to his son, the son looked up with shame in his face, and he mumbled something, but the father did not care. "My son is alive. He was dead, but now he is alive. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. He is here." The father shouted with joy, even though the son was filthy and smelled like a dirty pig. The father did not care. He reached out and embraced his son, getting the son's filth all over himself. But the father did not care. He kissed his son's dirty face with tears of joy running down his face, getting dirt and the smell of pig all over his lips and his face. But he did not care. His son was home. He would gladly get dirt upon himself in order to grab a hold of his lost son. Well, the son was trying to apologize to the father. The father did not listen, for he was yelling out to get the best robe and to get his ring. He kept yelling to get the best animal and kill it to prepare it for a feast because his son lives. Once the father obtained the best robe, he used this magnificent, radiant white robe, and he used it to cover his son's filthy body, to cover his shame. And then he placed a ring on his son's filthy hand is a symbol that everything that the father owned and everything that the father possessed, his whole authority, was now belonging to his lost son. At this point, we can imagine everyone looking at the father thinking, "What a crazy old man. That son spat in the eye of the father. He squandered the father's wealth. He wished the father dead. He comes home smelling like pig crap. And just like that, the crazy old man gives him everything again. The old man must be off his rocker. The old man must be crazy." Yes, my friends, the Lord God is crazy. God is indeed crazy. He really is. He is that crazy about sinners like you and sinners like me. He welcomes sinners and he even eats with sinners. Now, in case you haven't realized this, you, yes, you and I, we are that young, rebellious son in the story. We are that rebellious, self-serving son. We are prone to wander and prone to leave the God that we love. We constantly spit in the face of God. We wish that he were dead because we want to do what makes us happy. We mock God by our own sin. He gives us good gifts and we squander them. He gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And then we make a wreck of our lives by sinning in thought, word, and deed. And yet, when we return to the Lord's house of worship, right here in this church, his beloved church, with our heads held low, saying, I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. The Lord does not hide his face from us, but he runs out to you. He runs out to me in the absolution, in that divine absolution that we hear at the beginning of the service, as if to say, my child is home. You are forgiven. Take and eat and drink. The feast of the Lamb is for you. Christ has been slaughtered for you. You are home in my church where you belong. Dear friends, do you realize that when we confess our sins in the divine service, that God and the angels, yes, God and the angels rejoice? They rejoice at the confession of our sins. And then the Lord, he does not just stand around, but he actually comes to us and he clothes us, not with a fabric robe, but he declares that we have been clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus in our baptisms. He even kisses us in the absolution. Even though your sins are like scarlet, you are white as snow because you are clothed in Jesus. Because the Lord does not despise the brokenhearted. Indeed, God and the angels, they rejoice every time that we confess our sins and hear about the God who runs to sinners in order to what? To forgive. Every time we confess our sins, it is as if another prodigal has come home. And again, and again, and again, it happens every Sunday. Every time we confess our sins, the Lord rejoices and the angels rejoice and he runs out to meet our sins with forgiveness, life, and salvation. And when we feel shame for our sins, and we certainly do feel shame, when we feel shame for our sins, the Lord shuts our mouths by pointing us to the finished work of Jesus. We cry out, I have sinned against you, O Lord, and the Lord interrupts us saying, you, dear child, are baptized. You are forgiven. You were dead, but you are now alive. All of heaven and the whole church rejoice that you are home and forgiven. Dear baptized saints, when we have made a muck of our lives, when we find ourselves at the end of our rope and in the sewage of our own sin, there's no better place to be than in Christ's church, our home. Indeed, the gospel is for sinners. It is for prodigals like you and me. The Lord God seeks out the lost sheep. He seeks out the lost coin. He runs out to the prodigal son. He draws near to the brokenhearted. He comes to us, contrite sinners, not to celebrate our sin or to chastise us, but to absolve us and to forgive us of all of our sins. For the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was and is sufficient. You, dear friends, were lost. We were lost. But today, we have been found. The Lord possesses you. He has wrapped you in the robe of your baptisms. You are his, forgiven. You are loved and cherished today and for all eternity. For the Lord God runs out to embrace you in his grace and mercy. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org. or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.